Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're having a very funny, fun conversation. We're talking about the 10 don'ts that you should don't do in relationship. They are the killers of intimacy. They are the killers. They will ruin your intimacy. They'll just ruin it. So it's 10 sexual don'ts that ruin your intimacy. And why do we need to talk about that? Because I've talked about all the things that you should do, but the funny part is that sometimes even when I talk about the things you should do, the things that would be beneficial to your relationship, that doesn't always somehow correlate to people about the things they need to stop, look at, and stop doing. So we will look at the things that, are not things that you... things that definitely are not conducive to intimacy. Intimacy, not just the sex part, but also the closeness, although that often is misunderstood, and we're going to use it interchangeably today because people use it interchangeably, even though technically it's not the same. Anyhow, so we'll talk about that. The reason why I created this episode was that a friend of mine was over for a session last week, and we were talking about something and got to talking about a particular TV show that I was watching and she was about to watch. And I said, there are some sex scenes in there that are just so unbelievably off. Like, they don't even make sense. I know they try to make them sexy, but I'm like, in what guy's porn fantasy world is this even realistic? And there are like these scenes where, I don't know what it is, where I just see these things where there's like this gropey, grabby. I'm not into gropey grabbiness. Maybe people are. Am I weird with that? Like, okay, guys, let me take a survey right here. Who is into being groped and grabbed? Hands up. I'd like to know. I'm not into being groped and grabbed and random squeeze. I like caressing, and I do like deep grab. But if there's I don't know what it was. There was something about the scene that just made the sex scene so ridiculously unbelievable that I was like, rah, rah, rah. And my husband kind of sits back and laughs at my interpretations of these. I'm like, that woman's not even stimulated remotely enough for this to even be starting. Like, that was 12 and a half seconds of being touched. Like, I don't know where, yes, maybe they had, maybe she was feeling it all day long. I don't know. Maybe she'd masturbated secretly off screen and we didn't see that happen. And maybe in the storyline, she masturbated in the woods and we didn't see that happen. But frankly, it was so unbelievable that made me go, okay, these things are truly don't make sense. So why I'm talking about this is because I know that people watch these things and they take these things as if they're hints and clues on how to behave, as if they are like a guidebook for human sexuality. They are not. TV shows are not a guidebook for human sexuality. Very rarely have I seen a believable sex scene where you actually feel the energy of it. It does happen between Jamie and Claire in Outlander. You'll see truly beautiful sex scenes where you can actually feel the energy and intensity of the two of them. And at times I'm like, are these two actually doing it? Like, I don't know if they're truly actually doing it. I believe that they are. It's believable sex. The other ones are sometimes there's like positions where I'm like, either that guy's hung like a horse, or her vagina has some kind of interesting frontal entry position, where I don't know about you, but mine is not like a front entry underneath my belly button. So yeah, I don't know. There are some truly unbelievable, as in I don't believe it, scenes that happen on shows. And then there are truly amazing ones that are like, wow, I feel that. And they're beautiful, and there's movement, and the way that they film it is lovely. So yes, I think there are some people who can put that across on film, but it's really, really rare. And even the believability of why their bodies would be turned on is clear. And other ways, in other shows, I'm like, the believability is not there. And so, do you guys get what I'm saying? Like, how many shows do you watch and you just go, that sex scene is not even like believable? It's so ridiculous. I remember years ago, so when I first started the Pleasure Zone, I think I was in my first or second year. I had been contacted by a film crew, we'll call it a film crew, who asked me if I wanted to star in some scenes, we'll put it that way. And I was like, no, I don't want to star in any scenes because I don't believe those scenes are believable. And also, I don't believe you could afford me. But thank you for the offer. What I would rather do would be to show you how to make the energy come across on screen and have people's bodies actually be alive and make really, really good films that are believable and lovely, and people will actually, but they're not just believable, they translate off of film, and it's like the energy comes out of the film and your body resonates with it and feels it as if you're part of it. You know, that is beautiful. I was like, that I could show you how to do. Now, I was not called back to direct, unfortunately. However, I'm putting it out there. Like, if there's somebody out there who wants to make believable, beautiful films that have translate the energy across, contact me. That I would be willing to do. All right. So why are we doing this show? Because there are a lot of things that go on that are just not quite believable, that they do ruin intimacy. And so many of them are things you will see in movies. And I swear, once I start telling you what they are, you're going to start seeing them everywhere. You'll even start seeing them in maybe relationships you've had. You might see them in relationships of people that you know. And you'll start to go, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. I get why that could be like a little ticking time bomb in a relationship. And if you have enough little ticking time bombs in a relationship, soon that thing's going to explode. It's going to internally explode and it's going to be messy. So we want to look at how do we turn those ticking time bombs off, turn, you know, the love on, turn the consideration and kindness on. Consideration is a great C word. We're going to talk about things like commitment, conversation, communication. We're going to talk about things like curiosity. My C's still apply to this. We're going to look at it as in the don't version. And also, I don't know, so many more things. We will talk about all of that. The first thing I want to let you guys know is that I am a sex and intimacy coach as well as a holistic health practitioner. And in my practice, I offer to bring you out of trauma of many different kinds, whether that's physical, emotional, spiritual, whether you've had, it could be PTSD from being in the military, whatever it happens to be. My target is to bring you out of trauma and trauma response, which is going to essentially affect your body and create either chronic conditions or acute conditions, usually chronic conditions. Bring you out of that and into pleasure. So what can pleasure look like is that if your body is not, strung out on high stress and high stress hormones, which we will talk about that in this show as well. If your body's not strung out on that, then you can actually be able to connect, be calm, relate, hear your partner, or be able to communicate, right? So whether, even if you're hard of hearing, you're still going to be able to communicate with your partner and know what they're asking and then be able to communicate back. So all of that is part of what I do. I also do body work that is a type of somatic body work. It's called the mitzvah technique, which is doing a good deed to your body. So I do a lot of movement with bodies. They're clothed, helps to get rid of tension and stress from the skeletal system out. And in that work, I teach your body how to correct its posture, and then I teach you how to do the things that you can correct your posture with that. It's all lessons, lessons for the body, lessons for you to also then reiterate to your body. All right. All of that matters, guys, because any of those things that we have off, if our health is off, if our stress levels are off, it's going to be really hard to have a healthy relationship with yourself, number one, and then with others, number two. And the key is that we need to look after all of that. So, as a holistic health practitioner, I look at the whole of you, and we figure out a strategic plan to get you back on track. If you'd like to know more about what I do, you can head over to my website, militsayelenich.com. You can either go down there, you can download my do's, don'ts, maybes list, or my yes, no's, maybes list. And that's a freebie. You can also go and you can book a time with me if you want. So if you want to just send me a letter of, sometimes people just like to write to me to say what shows they've listened to, what they like, what they'd love me to talk about in the future, that sort of thing. I love reading your letters. I totally appreciate every single one I get. If I have not written back to you, it means I might not have seen your letter. So feel free to write again in case it got lost somewhere along the way. All right, kids. Why on earth do we care about what are the things that ruin our relationships? I think the number one thing is that most of the time we don't know when something is already going sour. I'm going to start with one because I hear this a lot in things like business and in different places. I hear the term fake it till you make it. And in relationships and when it comes to sex, that is a no-no. So you might want to fake it till you make it while you're maybe learning something like a new program and you're like, yeah, hey, I got this. Like when I'm learning Canva, I'm like, I can fake it till I make it because I can play around with things and different stuff. I can take tutorials, I can learn about that. And I don't have to lie about it. I'm just like, hey, I have a certain level of knowledge with this. I don't have to lie about it. I don't really have to fake it, but it's a form of like fake it till you make it. When it comes to sex and relationships, fake it till you make it is a definite no-no. Why is that? Well, one of the things it's going to do is it's going to set you up for failure 100% all the time. How does it set you up for failure? Well, if you start having sex with somebody and all of a sudden you're like faking all the things that you're pretending to enjoy, if you're faking orgasms and pleasure and everything, then the chances are it's going to start to have you actually not enjoy what's going on. It's going to start to create resentment because you're not getting the pleasure that you desire. It's going to start creating a disconnect with your partner because your partner is going to think that you like something, but you don't. And there is a difference between, whether you've been doing something with your partner, you maybe are long term and you've been having sex in a certain way for a long time and now you want something different. That's not a faking it situation. That's like switching it up and trying something new situation. But if you've been faking it, like if you're faking orgasms, it's not worth faking an orgasm because it's far, far better to just have the conversation and facilitate your partner in showing them what pleases you Because in the long run, it's going to both make their life easier and it's going to make your life happier, your body happier. As a result, they might have compersion, which is like feeling joy because the other person feels joy and pleasure. They might have some compersion over you having pleasure. So that would be a great thing to do you not think? One of the reasons why we often have that fake it till you make it is because people are too scared to ask for what they like. And they're also too scared to stop because they don't want to sound like they're criticizing their partner. And sometimes the fake it till you make it is also because a lot of times it's like women faking it till you make it, but men can fake it too, just so you know. I'm not going to get into full on details why and how men can fake it, but they can. So if you, as you know, we'll talk to the women primarily on this. If you're faking it till you make it, is it, you got to check in with yourself. Like, are you just trying to get it over with? Like, your partner only stops if you have pleasure. Now, if your partner only stops when you have pleasure, that means that they genuinely want to please you. So why don't you ask for what you'd like? So that's a question to think about. Now, if you're only trying to do that and you're trying to fake an orgasm quickly to try and have your partner also finish, or your partner, usually it's like you're faking it because you want it over with. But the point, what I'm trying to say is most of the time that if he or she is like withholding until you, or they are withholding until you orgasm, then the chances are they really want you to have pleasure. But if you don't feel like you can, maybe you're anorgasmic, or maybe you are just not in the mood for it, just say, you know what, I don't really need an orgasm tonight, but what I really like is this, or this. Let them know, because 99% of the time, people think the point of sex is to have an orgasm. That is not the point of sex. The point of sex is actually a biological response, which is to just try and procreate and move on with the planet, right? The point of pleasure and intimacy is to connect with your partner and then to connect with your own self and your own body. So different from a biological response and the need to, you know, populate the planet. If we are looking at the spiritual connection, the emotional, psychological connection to sex, then you actually want to connect, right? So let's make it real. Oh my goodness, I really have 10 of these to talk about. How am I going to get through this in an hour, guys? I'm going to do this. I swear I'm going to do this. So I'm going to give you one tip and tool to switch that around. We're going to go to break right after that. So I do encourage you, if something isn't working, to say, you know what? That didn't quite work for me, but what I'd really like is maybe this or this. And if you don't know, say, can we just try a few other things and like see what does work? Because I'm not really feeling this right now. And for the person hearing that, try not to be offended, right? And you can even ask in a way to say, you know, may we try this? Like, may we try a cuddle first? Or may we is nice. Like, may. As starting a conversation with me, I don't know how that translates into other languages. There is probably a difference between can and may in other languages, and I wonder if the energy of that translates across that as well. That's curiosity. Anyhow, I do prefer may I, or just even be quick on the response of, hey, you know what? Let's try something different. Like, try it this way. So we're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone, and I'm your host, Milica Jelinic. Tonight, we are talking about the 10 things that could, you know, kill your relationship. They could kill the intimacy. They could kill your sex drive. So the 10 sexual don'ts that ruin intimacy is our real hot topic tonight. And if you are listening, you might have heard the first one, which is, you know, don't fake it till you make it, because so many people use that phrase and they use it kind of willy-nilly for life. It's like their motto. They'll actually say, my motto is, you know, fake it till you make it. And I always think, well, I hope not in the bedroom, and I hope not with your orgasms. But anyway, so don't fake your orgasms, kids. And if you are faking your orgasms, go back and listen to that segment and figure out why not to. And the chances are your partner, if you're just faking it because you want your partner to finish, remember, it's probably your partner is really desiring to give you pleasure, and they're waiting for you to have what they think is pleasure in order to also finish themselves as well. Or they could be control freaks. I mean, it depends, but most of the time, we got people who are genuinely caring and kind individuals who genuinely want to give you pleasure. So if you happen to be in a relationship where somebody genuinely would like to give you pleasure, my question to you is, what's stopping you from asking for that? If it's like a matter of language or not knowing or discomfort, you need me to help you. So I'm telling you that. I don't usually tell people that, but there are certain circumstances where definitely you could use a coach. And as a sex and intimacy coach, that's something that I can help you with. So go over to my website and check me out, my friend. All right. So MilicaJelinic.com. All right. So the next thing I would highly recommend you not to do, do not do this, is to do not skip foreplay. I just did six or seven episodes on the foreplay, after play, playful play, why play helps, why all this stuff is important. I did an entire series dedicated to this. Actually, I've done an entire 11 years dedicated to the importance of connection and communication and consent and curiosity. And all of that is part of the foreplay conversation. Yeah. So why is foreplay important? Go back and listen to those shows. But I also want you to look at this, because if you skip foreplay, or you skip after play, and all you're doing is going for the task, it becomes very performative, which I talked about on last week's episode about things that are performative versus presence, right? So the performative stuff is so, it's like, you know, here it is energetically for me, right? It's like when you feel like you're going to vomit and vomit is rising and it's like stuck in your throat and you're like, That's performative for me. That's how I feel about performative sex. So, that's how I can describe it, kids, because as I think about it, sometimes I don't have the words, but I can give you a fine description, a rather poetically fine description. It's actually so disconnected in a way that it's like the person doesn't realize that they're not connecting to you, and they probably also have a desire to please you, but they haven't asked one fartin', sentence to you about what you actually like and desire and would like to try. There's been no conversation whatsoever. You know what? Communication is incredibly sexy. So I know that might be hard to believe, guys, penis havers out there. I know it might be hard to believe that communication is sexy. And you know what? Vulva havers out there, this goes to you too, because so many of you aren't having the conversations or asking for what you desire. Why are you so shy? It's not 1920. And in fact, it's in the 2020s. We're 100 years later. We need to get out of these mentalities that we're not allowed to ask for what we would like. When we're like 5 years old, and if you're brought up Christian, or if you're brought up in a household that's not Christian but has Santa Claus, you are told that you're allowed to ask for something. Now, you might not always get what you ask for, but you are told you're allowed to ask for something. In fact, you're supposed to write to a guy and ask a guy for what you'd like. So why can't you ask a guy for what you'd like when it comes to your relationship and to things that are more significant than, that toy you wanted when you were five? Although that toy I wanted when I was eight, I still have that toy. So I still have several of them, actually. So they were significant and are significant. Just saying, kids. Anyway, so why you don't want to skip the foreplay is because if you do, sex becomes performative. When anything's performative, unless you're at a play and people are performing and that's their career and they're putting an act on because they're there to entice or evoke an emotion in you through music or a play acting of some sort, that's different. That's their career is to be something else, to perform, right? So when it comes to relationships, be you. Show up as yourself, be present, bring your energy forth, and get out of the task mode. If you treat sex like a task, if somebody was treating sex with you like it's a task, do you think you're gonna like it? So do you think it's fun if you treat somebody else like it's a task? Do you know what I'm saying? It goes both ways. Being treated like it's a task and then treating it like a task, both ways are like vomit rising. It's not fun. It also, treating it like a task is like, it's kind of like the difference between doing a paint by numbers painting, which is fine. Like some people, that's how they got to paint, or being truly an artist, figuring out how you play with colors and what mediums you work with and bringing your art forth. And when I talk about sex and intimacy, it's not that I'm a natural, like some people are natural born artists, right? And maybe I was a natural born artist. I don't know. Maybe not. And I just like most artists, you also develop more skills and as you grow and your art becomes even more cultivated. Yes, sex is a skill and you can grow it and build it, but it also can have a component of talent that you're born with. And it does not need to be performance related. So, why I'm saying don't skip the foreplay is that this is part of the artistry. This is part of what makes the beauty of it. This is part of where you're like adding the colors to create the whole picture. Yeah. So I don't know if I've described it that way on here, but these are the images that are flowing through my brain right now. So you guys are getting translations of what my brain is showing me in a full force video. There you go. So some people call it channeling. I just see videos and I'm just telling you the video. All right. So Don't skip the foreplay, kids. So one of the things you can do is learn to build the energy. And if you have not listened to those episodes on core play, foreplay, after play, during play, all those, go back and listen to those episodes. And I promise you, there's so many tips and tools in there. I mean, I could go on for the rest of this episode just to talk about that as a tool to resolve that issue. But guys, I've done episodes on it. Start with connection. Start right there, right? So that hug your partner, start with that. Keep it simple, because if you try and get like super elaborate on how you connect with your partner and how you do foreplay, you're probably only going to do it once. Maybe it's not going to become part of your life. And you might end up losing interest in doing it because it's too much effort and it becomes performative. So sometimes rituals can also become performative. So like trying to make somebody have like a ritual with you doesn't always work. But if you set time aside and dedicate it to 10 minutes of play, whatever that looks like, it doesn't have to be the same thing every time. That can be helpful. That's just like having a date or an appointment with your partner to connect. And it could just be talking. It might not even be anything sex related. All right. We're going to head to our next? I don't even know what's happening because I'm off on my time today. So no, I'm not going to head to commercial yet. I'm going to go on to the next point because I can, because my producer's not like nudging me to go to break. So we're the number three of my 10 top don'ts to do is don't ignore your body. So if you find that you're like one of those people who, you know, you stare off into outer space and you kind of like are like zzz, and you're out of there, as compared to like staring into outer space, but then you're part of space and then you are space, but you're aware of where you are and then you're super grounded and rooted. That's a different kind of experience. That's like being in the mind of no mind, but you're also very present. So disembodiment is more like where you kind of feel like you're hovering and you're not there. And if somebody touches you, you might not even notice, or you're so alarmed that when they touch you, you like zip back in your body and you're startled and you're like, that is being out of touch with yourself. It's being out of touch with pleasure. It's being out of touch with touch. And a lot of times, if you are, why, so a lot of times why people can be out of touch with their body or do that disembodiment is maybe there's a lot of unresolved trauma. And so they just don't know how to connect. Touching is scary. Intimacy is scary. You might be neurodivergent and neurodiverse, neurodivergent. I always get that wrong. And so I'd never know which one's correct. But I know that if I ask my kid, I'll be told which one is correct. So if you are like one of those people who's just like gets so disconnected, so don't do that. For one, be present. Then the thing with, you know, ignoring your body is that you are not even noticing you have a body. So oftentimes if you're ignoring your body, some of the reasons are also because you've been told to be a people pleaser your whole life. And you might be ignoring your body because of cultural reasons, religious reasons. You might be ignoring your body because you didn't even know you were allowed to have a say in what happens with your body. And so the more you ignore your body, the more your body's going to scream at you. And your body will scream in different ways. It might create pain, might create inflammation. It's saying to you, you know, in French, faites attention, pay attention. I don't know why I had to say it in French. I have an aunt that's French and she would like, you know, to get my cousins to stop doing things, she'd be like, faites attention. And she'd probably correct me in my pronunciation. But anyway, whenever I think of pay attention, I think of it in French. Who doesn't, right? Of course, we all do. Anyhow, back to why we want to pay attention to our bodies. Our bodies tell us a lot of things. And if we don't listen, it will create disharmony in our body. It's like our body, we have a relationship with our body. If you Don't pay attention to your partner, or say you ignore your cat or your plants. If you ignore your plants, they'll die. If you ignore your cat and don't feed it, it's probably going to die. It might even jump on you. Cats will even eat you, right? If you die, and then if you die, and then yeah, then they're ignored, then they'll eat you. That's what cats do. But that was a total digression, kids. That's how my brain operates. So why we want to not ignore our bodies is to make sure that we are both being, so when you're in your body, you can feel, you can sense, you can know what you desire, you can know if you're safe or not. You can even know things like if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, if you're tired. When you're disembodied, you often can't even feel whether you're tired, thirsty, or hungry. And somebody could ask you, and you might be like, I don't know. I don't know. Am I tired, thirsty? I don't know. I spent years not even knowing whether I was tired, thirsty, hungry, or had to go to the bathroom until I'd be like on the verge of almost peeing my pants. And then I'd be like, oh, I think I need to go to the bathroom. So, and I could be thirsty to the point where, like, I need water right now, but I'll take that on my break. I could be thirsty to the point where I have headaches and I wouldn't even realize what I'd done to myself because I was so disembodied from trauma. So it's important to definitely be connected. So some things you can do to get in your body, to practice being present, is start with, we've talked a lot about somatic breathing on this show. I'm going to give you one right now. It's a fun, easy one. Actually, just start with the common regulated breathing of in for five, out for five. So in through your nose, out for five. But you can also do expansion breaths where you breathe in as much as you can, and then you do an extra like snort in, like. And then you can do extra snorts and they expand your breath. And then you can hold that expansion. You can go for more snorts if you want, like, and then you'll actually feel like your body opens, right? And then deep breaths out right into your belly and feel your belly like go down and let all the air exhaust out of it. And you don't just do one. So when I tell people to do breath work, it's so funny to me. I'm like, do that, try this. You know, I'm like, okay, get on the table. They'll do it twice. I'm like, no, I'm talking for the next half an hour. And then I'll remind them. I'm like, okay, breathe again. Because so many times people will stop breathing. They do not pay attention to their body. They do not pay attention to their breath. They don't even know when they're thirsty. Water and air are pretty fundamental to us staying alive. So we do need to have those and take those in. So we definitely need to pay attention to our bodies. So what's that? Don't ignore your body. Don't ignore your own body. No, no, no. Ignoring your own body in so many ways can lead to so many things. If you ignore your own signals, your body will also know if you're in a space of danger or not. And if you ignore that, then guess what? You're going to end up in danger. If you watch animals in distressful, like super stressful, distressful situations, like forest fires, animals will be aware of that far ahead of the game and they'll run away. Tsunamis, animals will like run to high ground during tsunamis, even before they happen, like a week or two before they happen, they can feel it happening. But we as human beings have lost touch with that natural instinct because somehow we think we're better because now we go to school in some way that we think is more significant than the way that, say, fish go to school or that other animals learn from each other. But we're not more important. We've lost a lot of our natural instincts, or we don't pay attention to them. I don't know if we've lost them, but we don't pay attention because we ignore our own bodies, and our own bodies are giving us information constantly. I could go on forever, but guys, I'm not going to. We're going to head to our next break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean In Now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. This is Milica Jelenich, and you are listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. And I've got seven more top things not to do in relationships. And guys, I only have a few minutes to do it in, and I'm going to freaking do this. So sit back, hold on tight. It's going to be all right. We're going to get through these next seven. All right. So number four, don't avoid honest conversations. So if you've been avoiding talking about things that are really scary, if you've been avoiding conversations about things that are, you know, freaking you out, I'll give you examples personally from my life. Like, so some things can be, oh, let's take it back. Oh, I don't know. I could take it back really far. So some honest conversations can be things about finances. They can be about how you're feeling. And sometimes those conversations aren't necessarily ones that you say, but you need to write about. So several years ago, I remember writing a letter to my husband because I couldn't quite put into words when I was talking to him what was going on for me and what I needed. And so those honest conversations, they definitely will help you to be able to feel like you get something out. It's also not about blaming the other person for what you're feeling. So the honesty is your honesty. Like, you might be like, I'm not feeling, maybe your feelings are something like, maybe you feel alone, maybe you feel sad. Like, I feel sad. But it's not like you make me feel sad. I feel sad. And when I look at why I'm feeling sad is because I feel disconnected from you. And I feel disconnected from you because these things in my love languages aren't being, I don't feel like my love languages are being delivered in the way that I like to receive them. Do you see how that's a little different than you never spend time with me and you don't do this and you don't do that? That's all blame. But you can guide and you can talk about how you feel, and you can also talk about how what it is that you feel is that you would like to resolve and how you'd like to resolve it. And hopefully your partner's open enough to be able to listen to you and not only hear that, but maybe even work with you on resolving that too. Avoiding honest conversations can just have things draw out forever and ever and ever. As much as you might be scared out of your wits to say how you feel and what you want, at some point those honest conversations need to happen, whether they're in writing or whether they're in person, and you'll know the timing of them. But generally, there's no perfect time. Sometimes there's just a better time. Right? Like if somebody's in the middle of doing their taxes, it's not necessarily the time to just be like, while they're trying to calculate things, be like, hey, I really want to talk about our relationship right now. Well, you could wait 25 minutes till they're done and then talk about it. Right? So you know what I mean? Timing can be really helpful on that. So one of the problems with avoiding those conversations that it can breed a lot of assumptions. So if you're not talking about things, you can assume things like assume that your partner can't handle the information, assume they'll be mad, assume they'll run away. That can harbor resentment because you never feel like you're able to even share what you feel. You might even miss a few of the things they're trying to tell you through verbal cues or physical cues. Like they're going to have like different cues that they might be giving you. So you can start to talk about things in a different way. So starting with honest conversations, you can say like, I feel, I desire, I'm curious about, blah, 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 and then open your conversations. But if you would like some assistance on that, just connect with me through my website, militsayelenich.com. On any of these guys, if you need assistance, connect with me. Send me an email, and then I will see if I if you give me a good worthy reason, I will gift you 30 minutes of my time. Otherwise, my time is time that you pay for. So if it's something that you do need some kind of financial assistance working with me on that, I'm also happy to talk to you for 15 minutes just to see if I fit to work with you. All right, so. Don't skip the foreplay. Don't ignore your body. You'll see all of these around for sure. Don't avoid honest conversations. Don't bring stress into your life. So into your bedroom, especially, there's probably going to be stress in your life, but you can navigate that with your partner. And there's different ways through relationship coaching and sex and intimacy coaching that you can work on that. The thing that stress does is it increases cortisol. And when your cortisol is rising, you're going to be in fight or flight. You might even be in freeze or fawn, depending on how far it's gone. But when you're in fight or flight, you're disconnected, which we talked about before, about being like disembodied and ignoring your own body. Getting in that fight or flight is actually kills your presence because you're not there. So one of the top things to do is leave things like your phone, your computers, leave your work outside of your intimacy spaces. Even if that's like definitely leave them away from your dinner table, leave them out of your bedroom. If you're on a date, turn your phones off. You're on a date. You don't need to be answering your phone. If you have small children and you're just in case of emergency, only answer it if it's like your babysitter, right? Otherwise, ooh, just don't. You can even do things like take a bath together or do some just calm breathing together or so many things you can do, but definitely get all the distractions out of your way. That will help reduce stress and do things, oh, so many things, meditation, you name it. And we've talked about tons of that on episodes of the Pleasure Zone. So don't bring stress or stuff that is like issues. Resolve those outside of your bedroom, outside of your sex life, but also resolve them in a way where you can be present. So whether you need to go for a walk first or work out and get that cortisol moving before you talk, because otherwise you're going to bring fight energy to the conversation, right? If you're in stress, you will bring fight energy to a conversation, which is going to translate to the other person being defensive. So they'll feel it and they're going to think you're ready to fight, even if you just want to have a conversation. They're going to feel your fight and they're going to smell the pheromones of fight. So calm yourself down before you have these conversations. Okay. Also, don't compare your, well, I kind of brought this up a little bit at the beginning of the show, but like, TV and porn. So don't compare your sex with porn sex and don't compare your sex with past partners. You're with somebody and they're different than whoever you were with before. I was with somebody once who all they did was tell me that I wasn't Filipino. And I'm like, yeah, I know I'm not. So why don't you go be with your Filipino ex-wife? Ended up going after a Filipino, basically just super. Anyways, that's a whole other story. He had a fetish for Filipinos, I think. So anyway, I was not Filipino, and for some reason he had to remind me of that. So that is definitely a sex killer right there. You might as well just like strip the libido out when somebody does that to you. Don't compare with porn stars. Don't compare with past lovers. It creates unrealistic expectations, and it undermines the person you're with, and it undermines the present. So one way to flip it around is to reassure yourself first, I'm here, I'm present. And then for your partner, to just, you can even say to them, I'm here and I'm with you, and I'm so thrilled to be with you. I am honored to be with you, and I'm grateful to be with you. Like that, how lovely is it when somebody says that to you? So also, don't focus only on the genitals. We've talked about this so many times. Do not focus only on the genitals. That will kill the sex so fast. Your body is entirely orgasmic. In fact, orgasms are in the brain, like that's where they start. So you need to be able to stimulate all of it. If you focus only on the genitals, it makes everything mechanical, all that performative stuff, and it makes it so darn boring. So you can use so many different things like pleasure maps, erotic maps, touch blueprints, all of that. Explore the non-genital zones. There's so many different methods on how to actually take sex and the genitals off the table to increase intimacy. If you need tips and tools on that, connect with me. Also, don't make orgasm the only goal. I say this all the time because, like we just said, don't focus on the genitals only. Usually when you're focusing on the genitals only, it's because orgasm is the only goal. And if you have goals that equal pressure, that body is going to just not react. So in fact, that kind of pressure can make a person feel really bad if they can't achieve what you're trying to make them achieve. And then they will walk away feeling worse about themselves rather than better. So turn it from finish line to just, where does the energy move? Where does it flow? And then have fun playing with each other. And we have so many episodes that you can check on the pleasure zone for play. Also, don't neglect boundaries. So that's where it's like consent. Don't neglect people's boundaries or consent, because when you respect their boundaries, and when you respect what they're consenting to, it's going to help build trust. And the more you build trust, the better. So don't neglect boundaries or consent, because disrespecting boundaries will have you break trust. So do consent check-ins, like, is this pace okay? What would you like? May I touch this? Would you prefer that I do something else? Would you be willing to show me what you like? So lots of different ways to word that. And then also, last but not least, and we talked about this last week, presence versus performance. Don't lose your presence. If you feel like you're mentally drifting, and why people do that is just that we have so many distractions in everyday life, right? There's so many of these things is because we've been trained to do them, because we watch other people do this and we think it's normal. And that's just how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to disrespect boundaries because you're supposed to egg somebody on to say yes. Or, you know, you lose presence because, oh, well, who cares? It doesn't matter. No, presence is key. So if you feel like you're mentally drifting and you see your partner's mentally drifting, just say hi. Hi, I'm so happy to be here with you. And like, bring them back and stop what you're doing and just look at each other, get present again. If they're mentally drifting again, I mean, if you're okay with it and you're just like, yeah, you know, I just want this to be done with, you got to check in as to why you're doing that. Like, if you're just having sex to have it done with, maybe it's time to change the sex up, because you're now just basically like a toy for your partner to just get off on. So, you know, if you're like, oh, I'd rather be
thank
doing
you
this
for choosing to listen
that,
to the Pleasure Zone
stop that.
With sex, relationship, and intimacy coach Milica Jelinic.
We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.